Where Gary had come from and who his mother had been was also an enigma. Gary himself did not know or refused to tell. If he spoke to anyone, it would be to Rodney, because the rest of Davingstock treated him with mistrust. Since he was a child, people had steered clear of Gary, having been raised in the marshes and being his father's son. And here stood Æthelflaed, in front of the very same Scroogey. His face was covered by a long discoloured moustache. His face was wrinkled, but his eyes were lively and his posture was firm. "Can't you hear me, girl? What are you doing on my boat?" He was staring at her. Æthelflaed had to think fast. She opened her mouth. "I was looking for Gary. Is he here?" There was no reaction at first, and then the man laughed, a loud, body-shaking laugh. To Æthelflaed's surprise, his teeth were white and strong like a teenager's. He was wearing a torn blue top, ragged brown corduroy trousers with knee patches, sandals tied with string. He was scruffy but clean, she noticed. "You jump onto my boat when you think nobody's looking, and now you ask for my son?" His smile disappeared suddenly, as if he had been switched off. "You've come to steal something. Tell me what you're looking for." For a couple of seconds, Æthelflaed said nothing, and then, as Scroogey watched, eyes narrowed, she answered, "The trophy. I've come for the trophy." The man's expression changed. He looked curious. "What trophy?" "The football trophy, the town one. It fell in the river, and I was sure you caught it. It's not mine. I've come to take it back to town." "The vase. The golden vase. That was the football trophy." Scroogey smiled. "I put flowers in it. You'll find it around here." He turned away from Æthelflaed, waving his hand. "And the next time you need something, just call like a normal human being," he shouted before disappearing into the boat. Æthelflaed sighed with relief and leaned onto the side of the boat, head in hands. Then quickly she stood up and looked around her, moving bottles, cages, rope and piles of junk. Next to some boxes, she found some wild daisies, crushed and dried, but no trophy. "I give up," she thought. She went to the side to wait. Her friends found her 10 minutes later, sailing up the creek. "Ethel," they whispered as she leapt onto the deck behind them. "You're alive!" The trophy wasn't there. "Gary's got it." Æthelflaed had calmed down, but her friends noticed her change of mood. "In that case, let's go home and forget it," said Samantha. "We won't get that back now." "What can you do?" added Natalia. "If you tell PC Blake, Gary's just going to deny everything. You can't prove he took it." "It's game over, Ethel." "You're right," replied Æthelflaed. "But you have to promise to come with me to the Davingstock Arms. Let's have a drink." By the time the boat is back and moored, they are smiling and laughing once again. Æthelflaed has told them about Scroogey, her Scroogey, scarier and more sinister than the original, and enjoying her friend's shrieks of fear and open eyes. Natalia and Æthelflaed sit by Samantha's swimming pool, waiting for her to change. Her parents turn up earlier than expected, and the girls greet them nervously. "That was close," whispers Natalia. Luckily, Samantha comes in and the girls make their excuses. "We need a break. We've been studying all evening." They cross the bridge and head for the pub. It's late Monday evening, but the Davingstock Arms always has an army of regulars drinking pints of Davingstock's own dark ale. Farmers, fishermen, London commuters and workers from Davingstock's own brewery. Those at the tables are talking and laughing. Those at the bar are staring silently at their beers. This is the scene when the three girls stroll in. As soon as Æthelflaed enters the bar, she calls out for silence. The noise stops, and everyone turns to look. "The trophy's been found," declares Æthelflaed triumphantly. Behind her friends suddenly have the same expression of terror as before. She's lost her mind. She's gone completely mad, Natalia whispers.